I don't know about you, but I've always admired short guys that got ahead in life. I mean, you know, if you're 6'2 or plus and you aren't successful, come on, give me a break. You got every advantage. But those of us that are a little more height challenged, I'm always impressed when the little guy wins. Now, I know historically the case has been that some very short men have a power complex and go on to be, you know, dictatorial and, you know, Napoleon, all that kind of stuff. But I like it when the little guy gets ahead. I love Danny DeVito. I mean, come on. Danny DeVito, what is he, like 5'5"? He's a movie star, right? Maybe 5'2". He's a movie star. Not exactly, you know, Cary Grant. My latest favorite little guy that's a huge star is on the TLC channel. The Living Channel? The Living Channel, is that what it's called? I just know it was TLC. Somebody in the early service told me what it meant. But have you caught this show, Little People, Big World? I don't know about you. You know, most of the network stuff is just crap anymore. It's not worth watching. So I've retreated into some of these cable channels. And this TLC channel has this show about a dwarf man and his wife. And they're little people. I guess that's what they prefer to be called. And then they have one little person child and three average height children. And it's basically just this running story of their life. But I love Matt Roloff, who is the father of this family. Now, the guy is probably, I don't know, 3 feet, maybe 3.5 feet tall. He is disabled as well as being height challenged. And yet he wields incredible influence. He is a ball of fire, and he is constantly wheeling and dealing and moving all sorts of things. Last week when Jody and I watched Thursday night, he was demolishing an old barn and salvaging all the wood from it. And he, of course, is doing very little of this. But he's just amazing to watch because he's a little guy, but he gets it done. Might have something to do with the fact that I am now the shortest man in my family. I'm only admitting that because Jake is not here. He's a Catholic worker tonight. Jake reminds me all the time that I'm the shortest man. I'm the guy who will forever have to reach up and hug my own father, who's about 6'3", my brother 6'2", my brother-in-law 6'4", my father-in-law 6'2", and now my son is 6 enough, as we say. So he's past dad. I'm the little guy. That's all right, because little guys sometimes win. Zacchaeus is just such a little guy. He's scraped. He has worked his way to the top of the heap. He is not just a tax collector. Did you catch it? He's a chief tax collector. He just doesn't run a utility company, Bernie. He is in charge of all the utility companies, right? He is mega wealthy. He has gotten to the top, though he is small in stature. But there's a cost to getting there. Zacchaeus is, we can be led to believe by the way Luke portrays him, ruthless, to say the least. He's probably, if we know anything about the early tax system and the way the Romans got Jewish people to turn on their own people and exercise tax against them, and then in the process made themselves rich, we know that Zacchaeus, what might have been a wee little man, all that, but he really was pretty bad guy. We might, in this day, we might liken him to a drug lord, someone who sells drugs, or somebody in the mafia. I mean, a kingpin, if you will. That would be the way, at least, he would be seen by other Jewish people. Not a good guy. Made his money by exploiting those of his own culture and people. He's the last guy in the world you would expect to see become a follower of Jesus. This is the bully in your class at school. This is the guy who will do anything to get the promotion over you. This is the coworker who is constantly trying to get you in trouble with the boss so that he can get your job. This is the business partner that has stabbed you in the back and now is living in some gated community someplace while you're still trying to make your way. This is the last person Luke, we would expect, would put at the end of his gospel. Interesting point about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is the last character we meet in the Gospel of Luke before Jesus goes to Jerusalem to face the Passion. All the people that Luke has us meet, all the focus on the poor and women, and those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and all this stuff that you read about in the Gospel of Luke, wonderful, love the Gospel of Luke. Zacchaeus is the final person we meet. I think that has something to do with the fact that he's the last person in the world you would expect to see following Jesus Christ. We get some hint that a character like Zacchaeus, a bad guy, is going to make a miraculous change. We get that because over in chapter 18, this is Luke 19, chapter 18 of Luke's gospel, we read about two men who come into the temple to pray. A Pharisee who stands at the front and says, "Lord, thank you that I'm not like that tax collector," and a humble tax collector, Jesus tells us about, who sits in the back and laments his sin. So we get some sense that there's some setup here that Luke's going to share with us, this least likely person. Then we get the story in Luke 8:18-25, even closer to our gospel tonight, about a rich young man who comes and says to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the gospel says that Jesus looks at him, and knowing that he is rich, after he's had a long conversation, says, "Sell all your possessions and come follow me." And this, Luke says that the man goes away sad because he's very, very wealthy. The disciples are like, "Well, you know, if a rich man can't get into heaven, then who can?" Because Jesus has talked about the camel moving through the eye of the needle. It's easier for a rich man to enter heaven. And basically Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. So it really shouldn't surprise us, but at the same time it should. Because Zacchaeus is not the guy you expect to see sitting by you in church. All we're told is that Zacchaeus wants to come and see Jesus. Maybe he's interested because he's heard about Levi, Matthew, the tax collector that Jesus has called to be one of his disciples. After all, Zacchaeus is in one of the three leading cities where taxes would have been collected: Jerusalem, where Jesus is headed, Jericho, where we find Zacchaeus, and Capernaum, up in Galilee, which we know is where Matthew, the tax collector, was called. Maybe he just wants to find out why a rich guy like Matthew would give it all up to be a traveling preacher. Whatever reason, Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. He wants to lay his eyes on him. He wants to check him out. And can you imagine? I mean, this is the crowd's chance. They're thinking, "We got him, you know, little short guy. We'll just box him out." So they all stand up in lines. "Sorry, Zacchaeus. Sorry, you can't see back there. You know, let's box him out." So Zacchaeus, he didn't get to be rich, filthy rich, just anyway. He runs on ahead. He finds a sycamore tree, climbs up it. Sycamore is known for their ease of climbing. I guess Luke wanted us to know that, because how would a little guy get up into the tree? Didn't have low branches. There is Zacchaeus just to see Jesus. The other night at Alpha, we're doing over at the university, somebody on the leadership team asked the question, how do we go about inviting people to Alpha? Because you begin to talk about Jesus and church and Christianity and people just begin to turn you off. And my response, even before I saw this gospel, was look for people who are inquisitive. Look for the people who are like Zacchaeus. For whatever reason, they want to pause and consider what it is that this whole Christianity is about. We as Christians should be walking around and at work and at play in our neighborhoods looking for some opportunity, some person who just maybe even for a split second wants to lay eyes on Jesus and figure out what he's about. If you find somebody that wants to hear about Jesus or is even remotely, maybe they just think you're weird and they want you to tell them why you're so weird. That's your chance in the sycamore tree. That's all Jesus needs. Don't bore them with Anglicanism. Please don't bore them with Anglicanism. Don't bore them with churchy stuff. Don't get into theological discussions about angels on pins of knee, you know, the heads of pins. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus has done in your life. Hopefully he's done something in your life, right? And just let Jesus get a hold of them. That's all it takes for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is up in the tree and Jesus comes by. But Jesus isn't going to just walk by. He turns and he looks up at the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, you need to come down right now because I need to stay at your house. Unheard of. This is the tax collector. This is the chief tax collector. You should spit on him, Jesus. You shouldn't come down and go to his house. Terrible insult to all those fine Jewish people in the crowd there. Jesus doesn't care at all about that, though. He wants to be reconciled to Zacchaeus. He cares about the worst, the baddest, the most ruthless, the most undeserving person in the crowd. He stops and he says, Zacchaeus, you come down. I need to go to your house. Jesus is extending grace to Zacchaeus. You don't deserve it. I know what you've done. I know how you've betrayed and exploited your people. You're a horrible guy. And I want to be reconciled to you, Zacchaeus. And Jesus declares that Zacchaeus is a restored son, a child of Abraham, recognizing that he's been, as far as Jesus is concerned, he's been put back into good standing as one of Abraham's children. But also, remember that Abraham is the one for whom it is said that he believed God and it was counted as righteous. In other words, Zacchaeus received the grace of Jesus. And it made all the difference in his life. You know, I think about our trip to Jackson, Mississippi, our mission trip we took a while back over the summer, and we used this Zacchaeus story with the kids. Not your traditional, I mean, I know you do the Wee Little Man song, but I thought, you know, this is a great gospel because basically what we're saying is the good news is that Jesus loves you so much, he's willing to come to your house and eat dinner with you. And you know, and Bernie has a really nice house, so that's that doesn't speak so much to Bernie, but these kids in Jackson, Mississippi, you would not want to go to their house and eat dinner. Let me just tell you. Rough neighborhoods. That was good news to those kids. It communicated something. That you mean Jesus would go and eat in my house? He would stay with me? In that same powerful way, it communicated that to Zacchaeus. Because this is the guy that, yeah, he's rich. Yeah, he's made it. He's the top kingpin. But he is alone. And he's ostracized from his people. Well, how does Zacchaeus react? He's changed forever. He gives away half of all of his wealth to the poor. Who does that? I don't know anybody that does that. No longer does Zacchaeus feel the need to accumulate all this wealth. Whatever drove him to acquire and to gain wealth and to get rich any way possible, that is gone. And so everything he has, he declares that he's going to give half away. And then on top of that, if he's exploited anybody, he's going to give them back four times. I mean, imagine if the United States was to take the Native American population still living and not just try to give, you know, something back to them for what was taken away from them hundreds of years ago. What if we gave them four times? What if we gave them, you know, give them back New York City? How about that, right? I mean, something that was really of great wealth and value. Who does that? Four times? That is what a dramatic change happens in Zacchaeus' life. Because the grace of Jesus is extended to him. And it's totally unexpected. I guess that's the real main point here tonight. Jesus concludes, he says, I have come to seek and save the lost. Luke's gospel, almost to the passion, he's going to Jerusalem to die on the cross. Last character we meet is the most unlikely, undeserving person in Luke's gospel who loves to talk about the poor. And he ends with this man, Zacchaeus, his life being changed, redeemed. Jesus is saying to all of us, this is the point. It's Zacchaeus and their stories that need to be told and found and lived out. I loved what one of the famous preacher, Charles Spurgeon's students said. Spurgeon was famous for having all of his students come out and they would have under a big tree, they would all stand and give extemporaneous sermons. And Spurgeon would critique them, be a little intimidating. They say Spurgeon could, you know, hold the attention of 5,000 people for hours with his sermons. And so they would give these sermons and then he would critique them. And this one student stood up and said about this scripture, about Luke 19, Zacchaeus was a man of little stature. So am I. Zacchaeus was up a tree. So am I. Zacchaeus came down, so will I. And he sat down. And the story goes that Spurgeon began to applaud. This is the point, friends. This is the point. We are to be light and gospel, carrying Jesus' grace to even the Zacchaeuses in our lives. You know, I thought, this is sad, I thought, man, who is, you know, I thought of a story. Who's a bully or an enemy of mine that became a Christian and I had to find a way to love him even though, and I couldn't think of anybody. I could think, Corrie Ten Boom has a story about an ex-guard, you know, and comes to her, but she can't forgive him. We see this verse. Check out the Old Testament, and which says it's the New Testament, it's really the Old Testament, and the Psalm. The Psalm, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who are doing wrong, for they shall wither like grass, and they shall... We want our enemies, we want the bad guys to get justice. And if they reject God, they will get that justice. But Jesus wants Zacchaeus stories. So my question is this. Are we looking for the least likely? Are we expecting the unexpected? Are we looking for the person you never would think would be open to the gospel of Jesus Christ for that moment of pause where they want to check out Jesus? Are we looking for the unexpected? Because Jesus said that's the point. I've come to seek and save the lost. It's the point. It's not the byproduct. It's not a nice thing that happens every once in a while. Hey, look, big sinner got saved. Great. It's the point. And we, as the body of Christ, are called to look and celebrate that just like us, the least likely, even a Zacchaeus can be received in. I had planned to talk about the spiritual gifts. I don't want us to lose the focus. If you got the newsletter, you know that spiritual gifts is on my heart and mind. I think it's important. But for tonight, this is what's important. To let Jesus' words about the lost, and His desire to seek after them, come into our lives. We have got to put this front and center. Next week, more about spiritual gifts. So if you want to hear more, come. We're going to try to bring this all together and talk about where we're going to go. I think, quite frankly, not to just tie it in, but I think that as we begin to operate in who we are in Christ, what gift we have to give, then we will be more effective in seeking and saving the lost. But that's another sermon, and I promise some people that I only preach once tonight. So pray with me. Father, thank you for this incredible story that we all know, Lord, because we sing it from the time we were a very little kid. And yet it's powerful when we contemplate just how long your arm is and that no one is outside your reach for salvation. Father, bring to mind those you have placed in our path who just may be coming to see what you're all about. Amen.